Once again, your neighborhood blue coal dealer brings you the thrilling adventures of The Shadow, the hard and relentless fight of one man against the forces of evil. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcibly to old and young alike that crime does not pay. You've probably seen newspaper headlines lately telling you of real government concern over the increasing shortages of coal. Bad weather has slowed down production and hampered transportation. You homeowners who heat with anthracite are urged to utilize alternate fuels as much as possible. If blue coal is not available, your dealer may have other fuels which are suitable to your furnace. So take his advice and accept the sizes and the kinds of fuel which he has in stock. That's the way to do your share in the vitally necessary fuel conservation program. And that's the way to be sure that your home is kept warm in the cold months ahead. The Shadow, who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret, the hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs. Today's drama, The Man Who Dreamed Too Much.
I'm alive,
Barney,
Norma.
Barney, please.
Norma. Now I'm all mixed up.
You were screaming.
I dreamed again.
Another nightmare.
Yes, and it was horrible. Mama, they had me in a grave.
Just don't think about it, dear.
No, I can't stand it, Mama. I can't stand it. I haven't had a night's sleep in 3 weeks. I'm going out of my mind.
Oh, but darling, what are you going to do?
Norma, if doctors can't help me, maybe the police can.
But, Mr. Adams, the police can't cure you of nightmares.
Well, Commissioner Weston, you've got to try. You are my last hope.
Now, just suppose you sit down and tell me your story from the beginning. Oh, Cranston, get a chair for Mr. Adams, will you?
Of course. Here you are, sir. Oh,
thank you.
Now, Mr. Adams, from the beginning.
Well, it begins with nightmares, horrible dreams, and I have them every night, every day, every time I try to sleep. And they started about 3 weeks ago. I'm afraid I'm going out of my mind.
Mr. Adams, you need a doctor.
Now, doctors, they can't help me. In fact, I believe a doctor is giving me these dreams.
You think someone is making you dream?
I'm sure of it.
But that's impossible.
Commissioner, the first night I dreamed, a man who called himself Dr. Nightmare telephoned me.
Dr. Nightmare?
Yes.
That's a peculiar name.
Yes, and he told me I'd suffer from dreams continually unless I paid him $10,000 to cure me.
$10,000?
Yes. But how could he know about your dream?
Oh, surely he was bluffing.
Oh, I thought so, too, at first. But I kept on dreaming, night after night, and now... Commissioner, I don't know what to think.
And you want the police to find the truth?
I want to stop dreaming. I can't go on like this. It's more than a man can endure. Commissioner, you have got to stop Dr. Nightmare from making me dream.
Well, all right, Mr. Adams. It's an unusual case, but we'll do the best we can.
Thanks. And whatever you do, do quickly, Commissioner. This is desperate. I won't be able to hold on to my sanity much longer.
Well, Commissioner, what now? Looks like you have a nightmare on your hands.
Cranston, what could I do? Adams happens to be a wealthy and influential citizen in his town. I couldn't just laugh him out of my office.
Well, maybe it isn't a laughing matter.
Now, don't be silly, Cranston. The guy's a nut. But I can't even make a phony investigation. This is too fantastic.
Commissioner, why don't I look into it? Well, unofficially, of course.
Oh, say now, that's a great idea. Then I can give Adams your report on police stationery. And, you know, Cranston, you're just the man for this job. Why, with your knowledge of scientific deduction, there should be a cinch for you.
Well, Commissioner, I better get started right away. I'll let you know the minute I hear anything.
Oh, fine, Cranston. The minute he learns anything. Oh, boy, that'll be the day.
Goes the whole story. Weston, he thought he was being awfully clever.
Oh, but Lamont, dear, you're not serious about this case.
Margot, Adams wasn't joking, neither am I.
But Dr. Nightmare can't do the impossible.
He already has. How did he know Adams was dreaming the very first night? And why does he ask $10,000 for an impossible cure?
Well, there must be some rational explanation.
Maybe, but that's why we're paying this visit. Stop the car, Margo. There's number 1230. That must be Dr. Nightmare's house.
Lamont, do all his dreams cost $10,000? Or does he have a special now and then?
Margot, if you're going to be a skeptic, too, I'll send you right back to Weston.
Oh, no. I must see what this Dr. Nightmare looks like. Oh, yes?
We'd like to see Dr. Nightmare.
Your business?
The case of Barney Adams.
Oh, come in. You will wait here. I will call the doctor.
Sounded like a corpse, too.
Well, this whole place looks like a terrible tomb. Maybe Maybe Dr. Nightmare really can give people dreams.
Shh. That ghoul secretary of his is coming back.
You will come this way, please. The doctor will see you.
Lamont, I'm scared.
Come on.
You will go straight through that door.
Door? I thought it was a coffin lid.
Good morning, good morning. Come in, please. Right this way.
Oh, my goodness.
Dr. Nightmare.
They're the same, sir.
You are Dr. Nightmare? But you're so, I don't know, big and jolly.
Thank you. There you come. Sit down. My secretary tells me you're here about poor unfortunate Adams. Mr.
Lamont Cranston. This is Miss Margot Lane.
Oh, charmed. Now, don't let's be gloomy. A doctor's office isn't just a bad place, you know.
Well, that depends on which end of the cure you're holding.
Yeah, that's very good indeed. I congratulate you on your wit, Mr. Cranston.
I congratulate you on your fees, Dr. Nightmare.
Eh? How's that?
Well, isn't $10,000 a lot of money for any doctor to ask for a cure?
Oh, not at all. Depends on the patient, you know. Must charge what the traffic will bear.
And you know what Mr. Adams can afford to pay?
Exactly.
You wouldn't cure him for less?
Oh, impossible, dear lady, impossible. All my other wealthy patients would demand the same price.
Do they all suffer from Adams' disease?
You mean Nightmare? As a matter of fact, they do. It's amusing, isn't it?
Doctor, isn't your name a bit odd, since you specialize in curing nightmares?
Oh, just happy coincidence, Mr. Cranston. Very happy with our current epidemic of bad dreams.
An epidemic you started yourself?
I started? What a droll idea, Miss Lane. Not at all, not at all. You know, it's impossible for anyone to control another person's dreams. Oh, no, no. I merely cure the dreams. And I presume that Mr. Adams desires the cure?
No.
Well, what's this?
Adams will not pay your fee.
Oh? Oh, I see. Oh, that is most unfortunate. Mr. Adams is making a serious mistake.
Really?
Oh, yes, Mr. Cranston. Adams needs my cure badly. In fact, he'd better take my cure at once. Because if he has any more dreams, I'm very much afraid they'll kill him.
What
is it?
Mrs. Adams, I'm Lamont Cranston, and this is Miss Lane. We've been investigating Dr. Nightmare for your husband.
Come in, please. Mr. Cranston, what have you learned? Have you found a way to stop Barney's dream?
Well, Mrs. Adams...
What is that? That's Blinky.
Blinky?
Yes, it's our dog.
Oh, well, my goodness, does he always howl like that?
No, Miss Lane, only when Barney is about to dream.
Where is your husband's room? We've got to get up there fast.
It's right at the top of those stairs.
Come on.
No, stop it. Stop.
Lamont, listen. Is that Mr. Adams yelling?
He's having another nightmare.
The door is locked. Oh. Mr. Adams. Mr. Adams.
Oh.
I'll never dream again, Mr. Nightmare. Never.
Mrs. Adams, where's the key to this door?
There isn't any key. He must have it bolted from inside.
Mr. Adams, open the door.
Maybe you can last this off, Dr. Nightmare.
Barney!
One side. We've got to get in there.
Barney! What? In the name of heaven. Oh, Barney!
Lamont, he shot himself.
Yes, Margot. He'll never dream again.
return to the shadow in just a moment. And now, here is a message of particular interest to former mine workers who are now in the armed forces or who are working at wartime jobs in the production centers of the East. Blue coal needs men. Blue coal can put 5,000 men to work immediately. Steady work is assured for a long time to come, because more people today are heating their homes with anthracite coal than ever before. So if you are looking for a good job at good pay, send a postcard to the radio station which is broadcasting this program immediately. Just say, "Tell me about a job in the blue coal mines." Full particulars will be promptly sent to you. Blue coal offers immediate employment for 6 days' work each week, with time and a half for the 6 day worked, plus annual vacation pay accrued at $75 a year. Many good houses at reasonable rents are available near the famous blue coal mines. If your present job may not last, or if you have already been released by industry or the armed forces and want a good steady job at good pay, send that postcard now. Just say, "Tell me about a job in the blue coal mines." Send it to this radio station. Now, back to the shadow. As we return to our story, Mrs. Adams stares incredulously at the body of her dead husband.
I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. I'm having a nightmare now.
No, Mrs. Adams.
Barney's not dead. He didn't kill himself. This is all a dream, isn't it? We're all in a nightmare.
No, Mrs. Adams, we're real. I'm terribly sorry, but you must face it.
No.
This is reality.
No, he can't be real because Barney can't be lying there. Listen. You can hear him coming upstairs now.
You must stop this, Mrs. Adams.
Wait, Lamont. I'll hear steps too.
It's Barney. I know it.
Yes, someone is coming up here.
No!
Dr. Nightmare.
Good day, Mr. Cranston. I came to see if you had persuaded Mr. Adams to... Oh, dear, what's this?
You murderer! You killed my Barney!
Dr. Nightmare, are you insane?
Oh, I'm so sorry, my dear. Forgive me. My irrepressible sense of humor. It is very funny, really. After all, I told you it would kill him.
Shut up! Get out of here. I don't like people who laugh at death.
Certainly, my dear Cranston, certainly. After all, when a man dies, the doctor's job is finished, and it's time for the undertaker to take over. Very good play on words, that.
What kind of a man is he? He acts so inhuman.
He's a killer. He killed my husband.
Perhaps. That's what I've got to find out. Mrs. Adams, I'll have to leave now.
Yes, Mr.
I'll notify the police for you. Come on, Margot.
Lamont, you mind if I don't go with you? I'd just like to go home and rest for a while. This is...
Of course not, Margot. I understand. Besides, I have a little research to do.
On Nightmares?
Well, in a way, yes. I want to find out what was making that dog howl.
Kitty, what's the matter with you? Why are you screaming? Oh, now, kitty cat, you must be quiet, because I want to get some rest, please. Come on now, come on. Just jump up on the couch with me. Come on, be a good kitty. Who's there?
It's me, Barney Adams. Let me in, please.
Barney Adams? You're dead.
Let me in, Margot.
Oh!
The door was open, Margot.
No, no, it was not. Now get out of here. Let me alone.
Margot, I have a warning for you.
Please, will you get away? Don't come near me. You're dead.
Yes, Margot, but you have got to listen to
me. Get out of here. For heaven's sake, get out.
You have a date with death, Margot. Now listen to Barney Adams.
Margot Lane, listen to the dead Barney Adams. He has a message for you. A message from the grave.
No, I will not listen.
Nightmare isn't going to get away with. Dr. Nightmare is making you dream. Come on, Kitty. Come on. Come here now. Ah, now I got you, Kitty.
I don't understand.
Margot, don't you remember that Adam's dog began howling when the nightmares began?
Right.
And now your cat cries when you start having nightmares. Well, I'll show you what makes Kitty cry and what makes you dream. Come on, Kitty. I'm going to carry you around this apartment like a compass.
Like a compass?
Yes. All right, you can go now, Kitty. You've shown us what we're looking for.
Well, what is it?
Now, wait. Margot, now I know where your dream came from. This is an ultrasonic broadcaster.
Ultrasonic broadcaster? What are you talking about? Don't go away, please, dear. I want more explanation after this call. Hello?
Miss Lane, this is Dr. Nightmare.
Quick, Lamont, listen. Dr. Nightmare. Yes, Dr. Nightmare.
I'm afraid you're not going to have sweet dreams tonight, Miss Lane.
Why, what do you mean?
You'll find out, Miss Lane. And I'm afraid Mr. Cranston will be too busy taking care of you to pay any more attention to me.
could you wait just 1 minute, please?
Tell him you're going to stay at my apartment tonight. Say I'm out of town on the Adams case.
Right. Hello, I'm sorry about the interruption, Doctor. I've been so busy packing. Because, you see, I'm going to stay in Mr. Cranston's apartment tonight. He's out of town on the Adams case.
How very interesting. But you won't be alone long. Your nightmares will bring Mr. Cranston running back to town. Good night, Miss Lane. And bad dreams.
All right, Lamont, I told him. Now what?
I want you to get over to my apartment as fast as you can. I'll meet you there later.
Where are you going?
To visit Dr. Nightmare. Maybe I can catch him with a dream in his pocket.
Yes?
I'd like to see Dr. Nightmare.
Oh, Mr. Cranston. Come in, please. I didn't expect to see you again. Most of Dr. Nightmare's visitors never come back.
Somehow I'm not surprised.
I like it that way. I'm a widow, you see. And that's why I'm always wearing black. My husband died, but I didn't mind. I needed the insurance money. We stopped loving years ago. What did you wish to see the doctor about?
I'd rather film the doctor in person. Just tell him I'm here.
But that's impossible.
Impossible?
Yes, Mr. Cranston. Because the doctor has just left. Oddly enough, he said he was on his way to pay you a visit.
Oh, I see. Well, then I'd better return home at once. Is this the way out? It's so dark in here.
Straight ahead, Mr. Cranston.
Yes, I wouldn't want the doctor to find me out.
Really, Mr. Cranston? But I'm afraid that's just the way he will find you.
What are you doing in Mr. Cranston's apartment?
Miss Lee. You won't believe it, but I'm preparing a nightmare for Mr. Cranston.
Oh?
I had hoped it would be for you, my dear. But dear me, you young ladies travel quickly. I thought I'd be out of here before you arrived.
Oh.
It's too bad you did arrive just now, Miss Lane. Now I'll have to put you out of the way.
Oh, no!
Miss Lane, I have $1 million worth of nightmares waiting to be cured. I can't permit you or Mr. Cranston to interfere. With you out of the way and Mr. Cranston obsessed with his own dreams, I shall have nothing to worry about. What's that?
Someone who also knows how to laugh.
Who are you?
The man you forgot to worry about.
And where? There's no one here.
I am here.
Who are you?
Men call me Dr. Nightmare.
Why, you're mad. That's my name.
You are the mad one. What sane man hears voices speaking from invisible shadows?
I tell you, I am Dr. Nightmare.
You are nothing. A mere dream image, a mad idea of mine.
No. No, this is insane!
You are a phantom. A shade slipping into nothingness. You and your plan of extortion, your dreams of millions. Oh, nothing. It's amazing. Why don't you laugh?
I don't believe you. It's impossible.
It's a delightful joke, isn't it? That a dream should think itself real. I am Dr. Nightmare. You are my dream. You are an illusion. Nothing dreaming itself everything. You're a fleeting image that will vanish when I awaken from my dream of you.
Yes. Yes, you're right. That's very funny. Upon my word, very funny indeed. I, who think myself real and merely the dream of an invisible voice. Oh, that's comical indeed. I am not Dr. Nightmare, just his dream. I am merely a dream, just a dream.
Secretary Blackjack, you?
Yes, Margot, but fortunately I regained consciousness in time to be of some use to you.
You're not fooling. But why did the shadow make Dr. Nightmare think he was dreaming?
Well, I thought that would be the best way to soften him up for a confession. But I didn't realize he was so close to madness.
Oh, Cranston, we can go in and see that Nightmare now is Room's just down this way.
Oh, I'm not so sure I want to see him.
Don't feel sorry for him, Miss Lane. Actually, he's a murderer.
Yes, you're right.
So he really was making people dream, eh, Cranston?
Yes, Commissioner. With a device known as an ultrasonic broadcaster.
What's that?
It's something that broadcasts sound waves. Too high in frequency to be heard by human ears, but which produce profound physical changes in the body.
Such as dreams.
Exactly. Dr. Nightmare connected his device to radio power cords. The device broadcasted ultrasonics constantly, whether the radios were on or off.
Is that why the animals howl?
Yes, yes. You see, animal ears can't hear sound waves, which humans are unconscious of.
Here's Dr. Nightmare's cell. They've got him in a straitjacket.
It's funny. It's very funny indeed. I'm not Dr. Nightmare. I'm merely his dream. The dream of an invisible voice. I'm only a dream.
You see? Hopeless.
Oh, Commissioner, shut the door, please.
You know, it's a kind of poetic justice.
Yes, Commissioner. He turned reality into nightmares for others.